Welcome to the Hall of Fame Podcast, and our sponsor is Fullbay, Fullbay Software. Whether you're running an independent shop that does tractor or trailer repair, or your in-house shop within your fleet, Fullbay Software will improve proficiency, productivity, and overall profitability for your shop. Please check out their software in our description wherever our podcast is consumed. And now, welcome to the Hall of Fame. Welcome to the Hall of Fame Podcast. Today, I think it's important. We're going to talk a little bit about truck safety. We have ESS on the line today, their president, and he's going to do a quick introduction, talk about the history of ESS, and also tell you how we can improve our safety and also reduce your insurance and accident costs on the highways today. So without further ado, Orlean, we'll go ahead and introduce you, and you can give a quick introduction of your company. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, Ken, thank you very much for having me on your show. I really love your emphasis on safety. Some of your other guests have been spectacular on this concept and then on the subject. So thank you for adding us to that equation and to that conversation. I'm actually the director for commercial strategy for ESS, and I'll talk about our president as well in just a second here, but we're bringing this game-changing technology to the trucking and commercial and passenger car space, which is really geared around one particular cause of fatalities, and that is when a vehicle is on the side of the road, stationary, and gets hit from behind. That's a very common but very unseen problem that the data from the DOT doesn't really reveal, but it's a big, big problem. Lots of people get killed and hurt every year in those accidents, and we are here to address that and hopefully get those to go away. So,
okay, yeah. Before we go there, before we get in there, so you're telling me, so if I'm normally, so let's say I'm going through Denver, going through Colorado, head into California, and my truck breaks down. So normally I go out and I walk back my triangle and put it back out there. So tell me what is wrong with that today, because that is your normal. You put on your four-way flashers, you walk back, you put out your triangle, you get back in your truck, you call for help, things of that nature. So walk me through the issues with that. But prior to that, tell me a little bit about the history, how you guys came to be about. What brought you guys around? Okay.
Yeah, it's a great story. So our founder, David Tucker, was actually retired, and he was in Montana in his motorhome, pulling a vehicle behind him, and he was on a daily basis just checking his tow hitch and his tow harness, and in the process of that, he was pulled over on the side of the road, and it was quite often that he would get cars going past him or trucks going past him very quickly with almost no space between him and their vehicle. And so at one point, he actually had to dive underneath his vehicle in order to avoid getting hit and killed. So he started thinking, because he's an entrepreneur, and he said, you know, there's got to be a better way here. There's got to be a better way to communicate to the oncoming vehicles to get over and slow down, right? And so that was really the birth of it. It started with one of those flashlights you get at the truck stop with the little buttons that you push a couple times and it flashes. And that was the start of it, because he found that that actually worked. And so a long story short, he went and researched this. Our company has a whole lot of intellectual property now around that flash pattern and some other kind of related issues with digital communications. But in the end, what we're really trying to do is communicate better to the people that are coming up behind you. And that's the bottom line of what we're trying to do. You asked about the three triangles. That's a fascinating question, because, you know, all of the drivers that we've talked to and I've talked to, none of them like those three triangles. Hmm. None of them think they work. There's really no documentation anywhere that says that they work. And further, you mentioned the hazard lights, the four-way flashers.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting fact for you. Those were actually mandated on passenger cars in the 1950s, the early 1950s. And as you know, in your car, my car, everybody's car, when you'd hit that little red triangle, they flash at 1 hertz or 1 to 2 hertz. It's one time a second, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason they do that is that 1951, that's as fast as you could flash these lights, because the bulbs were incandescent bulbs, and the relay that was making them go on and off was mechanical. So that's as fast as you could flash those lights. And that same standard is still valid today, 70 years later. But nobody ever stopped to ask, what's the right flash pattern to actually get somebody's attention if they're coming up behind a vehicle? And so the answer to that question is actually it's somewhere between 4 and 5 hertz. That's the optimum frequency. And there's tons of research from NASA and all kinds of other folks that you know that that's actually a better flash pattern. And we know that the police and emergency responders, they don't use 1 hertz. They use a much higher flash rate, yes, as well. So to answer your question, maybe in a long form, the three triangles and the hazard lamps don't work. And we know that because people are injured and killed every day on these, we're using this system. So we aim to fix that with our system.
Okay. So, So tell me, so if I'm a small company, let's say I'm running about 100 trucks, OTR, so I'm running all over the U.S. What am I looking at as far as, so let's say I have 100 trucks, I watch the podcast, says, you know what, my insurance is important to me, because one of the biggest issues truck companies are having now, we're in like a 3-year, what we call the Great Freight Depression. It is tough out there. And one of the highest rising costs is insurance costs. So mm-hmm. walk me through how you can prevent, because it does not matter. And I think for our viewers, you need to understand, your insurance going up, it doesn't matter whether you are parking on the side of the road and someone rear ends you. You are ending up in litigation, and you're ended up paying out that litigation. So fault is irrelevant when it comes to a truck. For cars, it is, but for trucks, it's not. And that's why you've seen some of the things around nuclear verdicts and some of that things of that nature. So what would it cost? And roughly, I'm not looking for an exact amount, just so our guys can kind of pallet it. What would it cost for them to outfit their fleet per truck, roughly, and what would that look like? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let me start with the second question first.
Sure.
So and it's sort of Cool Hand Luke, right? What are we trying to do here is we have a failure to communicate, right?
Yes.
And so what we're doing is with our system is actually two forms of communication.
Okay.
The first one you mentioned was the lights, right? So what we're pulling if you imagine you have a box trailer, you have a lot of rear-facing lights that don't flash when you hit your hazard button. Yeah, it's just the turn signals that actually flash. Yeah. Our system pulls in all lights, the turn signal lights, the brake lights, if you have the running lights, if you have 3-4 inches down the bottom. If you're a box truck, you have the clearance markers, and the marker lights and the clearance lights, all of which face rearward, and of course your side marker lights. And if you are, depending on how you put our system in your vehicle, you can also be flashing all of your tractor lights as well at this 4 to 5 hertz. So what we're doing is changing the pattern of your lights to make them much more effective and in a proven way. And I take a little detour there that we've actually tested this system at Virginia Tech. Now, Virginia Tech is the VTTI, is the leading national automotive human factors research center. And all of the OEMs, they all rely on VTTI data and results to understand efficacy. And so our system has been tested on real roads at VTTI and on with VTTI, and we know it works. And the reason we know it works is because they measured on a real road that vehicles would slow down and move over much more effectively than without hazards or regular hazards. So, and of course, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people to slow down, and we're trying to get people to move over, and then you don't get hit. So that's the lighting part. There's another part to this too, Ken, which is pretty much everybody's got their phone on them, and a lot of cars have inbuilt screens these days. But a lot of people use navigation apps like Waze and Google Maps. And so that's a whole other way that we can communicate to the cars coming up behind you. So the other part of our solution is to send out, if you hit our hazard system, our HELP system, we call it, the Hazard Enhanced Location Protocol HELP. If you activate that switch in your cab, or on your trailer, depending on the embodiment. It also sends a digital alert into a cloud, and it goes back to the vehicles that are coming up behind you, and they get an alert, very like Waze gives you the construction zone or whatever those other alerts are. It gives you that alert about 20 seconds before you actually are come upon the disabled truck or the vulnerable truck. And so you get this very advanced warning, and that's been studied by the University of Minnesota to be effective in its own right, to get people to not hit their brakes hard and kind of move over and kind of react much more in a controlled manner. So those two together are what makes our system very effective for trucks. Now, you mentioned the litigious nature of the trucking business. It's staggering to me how litigious it is, and how it's cats and dogs between the plaintiff's attorneys and the trucker's defense attorneys. And so that battle, I'm sure, will continue. And there's not a whole lot we can do to stop that. But what a trucking company can do, whether you're big or small, is you can have the best available defense. Meaning, I've tried everything I know how to do to communicate with this person that eventually hit me, with lights that are the best available technology, and with digital, and I reaching out back behind as far as I can, and I warned you, yeah. And so this is really a solution, I think, that gives the trucking companies the best available defense to a lawsuit. But you're right, Ken, it's still it doesn't stop you from getting sued. And that's just the nature of the beast, right? Another thing I forgot to mention earlier, which is also maybe a little anecdote for you, is that both David Tucker and myself and our chief operating officer all are ex-oil field guys. And the oil
West
field.
Texas.
Yeah.
West Texas,
well,
yeah.
And in fact, we were all over the world on this stuff. But the thing about the oil patch, it's very similar to the trucking world, and is that you're really in a dangerous environment just because of what you do for a living.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're walking around a refinery or an offshore oil and gas platform, you're essentially surrounded with very high pressure, very flammable stuff. And now in the trucking industry, you are similarly in a very dangerous environment trying to do your job, whether you're making last mile deliveries, where you have to get out of your car and you got to stand behind the vehicle, your van, or you're in a 18-wheeler driving across the country. You're just, because of the job, you have to be in these very dangerous environments, and that environment is not entirely in your control. And so, because of the public, you can't change the behavior of the public. You can try to, but you don't have that control. And so what we're trying to do with ESS is we're trying to get some modicum of communication to affect that control. That's what we're doing. Finally, you asked about price. And so I I know that's a hot topic for you. I'm going to give you the depends answer. It really does depend on what you install. Our company has multiple solutions which fit your different operating conditions. So, for instance, a big shipping company that has their own tractors and trailers, then you can put our system in the tractor. If your tractors are pulling different trailers, some of which are yours and some of which are somebody else's, then that's the best solution. If your trailers are being pulled by agency or contract tractors, then you want to have, because your name is on the back of that big trailer, right? That's so the mm-hmm. plaintiff's attorneys are aiming for that name, right? So if you want your trailer to be protected, but you don't know who's pulling it, we have a solution that goes on the trailer. We call that our nose box solution. So it depends a little bit on which embodiment you have. And then the digital part of that is part of it as well, that there's a lighting controller and the digital part. So, but you're in general terms, you're talking, you know, around, you know, maybe $1,000 to $1,500 per implementation.
Roughly. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of, and I'm shooting for, you know, the people that are running large enough fleets that have a trailer pool someone else is using, very adept, they says they can go price something out. I'm more talking about someone that maybe owns 200 trailers with 100 trucks. So that kind of ends it, because those are the guys that, or girls that we tend to have a lot on our company. The people that have with huge trailer pools, I think this is a no-brainer. I think for a smaller guy with 100 trucks and 100 trailer, I think that price point is very reasonable. So okay, so let me walk through what would happen to. So I come in and I have, let's say, 100 trucks, and I'm running about 250 trailers, yeah. And I'm based out of Salt Lake City. I'm running it's a random OTR. So everything eventually comes back to Salt Lake City at some point. Most of my drivers are domiciled there. So you require to see my truck and trailer. Do you? Do you need to see both from all?
I'd actually, my first question would be, do your tractors only pull your trailers, or are you?
And if that's yes, let's say that's a yes.
Yeah, then okay. I would say your best shot is to go with we call it an in-cab solution.
Okay.
Yeah, so we would outfit your cab with our system, and there are really two things. It's the lighting controller, right, yep. Which changes that behavior. And then the other thing, which is kind of interesting, I'm glad you asked this, Ken, mm-hmm. is a lot of folks have a telematic system of some kind, Geotab, Samsara, Trimble. There are lots of popular ones out there.
Yeah.
And it's possible that you can actually hop over into that system and then hop back out in their cloud and over to this alerting cloud that saves you a little bit of money on the kind of the communication part. Or if you don't have a preferred provider, we can provide our own transponder, and that just talks directly to our cloud. So it's either way, but it would be in your cab.
Oh, that's very interesting. I thought you needed, just from watching videos, I thought you needed a trailer too. That makes it a lot easier.
No.
Running all that equipment back through, I mean, listen, we're in an OTR environment, and there are local environments that are a lot simpler. Your trailers are scattered out over a country in pools, some yeah. pools that are required to be dropped and some that are not. So just that you just have to run through the own tractors, yeah. I think helps our viewers get there, I think, yeah. a lot easier. So you're basically about 100 trucks. You're talking about 100,000 roughly investment that they yeah. can amortize over a length of time. So that's not bad at all. I tell you a crazy story. I won't name the company for obvious reasons, because it involves a fairly large judicial claim. So they were parked on the side of the road on the exact stretch of highway I told you about, and it was foggy, and it was coming off a hill, off the Rockies, and they put out their triangle there. They were in the cab calling for help, and a car ran. First of all, they did not see the triangle, that's the thing, which is crazy.
Nobody does.
And a problem with, it's not a problem, it helps the truck. With a regular 53-foot trailer and ICE bumper, is it hits the car right in the windshield. So when you run under it, it's just, it's in a weird place. If you're in a regular sedan or it doesn't matter if it's sedan, the height of the car, and they ran right under it, killing the mother and the father, and the kids in the back survived. So there's about a $25 million verdict on that. And I wanted to share that because they did absolutely nothing wrong. And their insurance was for $2 million and they're way outside that realm right now. I don't want to beat the company up, so I'm not going to mention it because I don't think the company actually did anything wrong. But I just give an example of the litigious natures of our business. And one accident, I know the owner. I hope they survive, but I see a hard time them surviving that verdict with where it is right now. So I just want to give you an example.
We have lots and lots of almost identical stories for you. And the physics don't work. You're right. You're on the side of the road, whatever. It could be because you're out of hours and you're parked because you don't have a place, safe place to stay for the night. And you just have to be there and you've done everything you can and you still get hit. And you get this lawsuit. We have lots and lots of stories like that. Let me tell you some good news, though, which just today we heard that we put out an exemption request to the FMCSA asking for an exemption for all trucking companies to not have to deploy the three triangles behind their truck if they have our system. So we have lighting and we were kind of headed under wraps because it wasn't public information, but just today the FMCSA has now issued that for public comment, and without disclosing kind of who our folks, our friends are, but there are a number of fleets that are very supportive of this. And certainly in your audience, if anybody wants to comment on the exemption request, we have never talked to anybody that thinks those triangles are any good whatsoever. And so we're trying to change the game here and, again, get ahead of this communication problem. So and to prevent those exact accidents that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think the triangles itself, I think the biggest issue with them is walking them out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think people don't realize if you're in low visibility, I'm not talking about blackout fog. I'm talking about just low visibility, the crack of dawn, dusk, anything where the sun is hitting your car. I mean, the car is the oncoming traffic in the face. That becomes a dicey walk. I call it the walk of death. So, I totally understand that. And walking them out. So that's great. So please, we will link that with the podcast so people can see it. I think it's important to get that information out. So we're almost out of time. So as in closing, as always, I give you an opportunity to tell me whatever you want to tell me at the end. And thank you. I'll thank you after it for being in the Hall of Fame. So I turn it over to you to give me any closing remarks, sir.
Well, Ken, again, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's terrific to get these safety messages out into the industry. It's our passion, frankly, that we want to do just this. And so the opportunity to speak with you and your audience is just wonderful for us. We appreciate your interest as well, and hope that we can gain the adoption here that this system deserves. And help your audience to be safer, to be more productive, and just do their jobs really well. So thank you very much for this opportunity, and we look forward to speaking with you again.
Well, thank you for being on. I think this is a great podcast. We will follow up with you, and thank you for being on the Hall of Fame podcast.